Well, looking through the Psalms together, you know, Jesus quoted the Psalm more than any other book in the Bible, the Old Testament, and, of course, all the other writers did also. So to get in them, boy, we see God's heart and how people responded to God in so many different ways. Decisions, emotions, whatever you've gone through, somebody probably went through something similar in the Psalms as they reached out to God in faith. And coming up on May 5th, that's a week, or actually it's May 3rd, a week from Thursday is the National Day of Prayer, and we could pray for our nation, our leaders, seeing that all the leaders of the nations, you know, are our leaders too. They're under God, very much so. And so our trust is in God, not in the, I don't know what you call them, let's say call them all the vice presidents of the world, you know. That's not even, I mean, it's, God's a lot higher than president to vice president. But all our leaders, they're really under God. And so our trust is in God. And then he works on with the imperfect leaders that there are. If you look at Israel, for example, and Judah, I think maybe 30 kings, give or take a few. And I think about 26 just had a horrible time following God. They did evil in the eyes of God, and about 4 did really well. So, you know, your expectation level, you put it in the Lord, you know. You don't put it in human beings, you'd be deeply disappointed if you did. So when National Day of Prayer comes, it's a big deal. In God's providence, Psalm 20 and 21 are kind of National Day of Prayer testimonies for Israel. And so you're praying for the nation and praying for the king, who happens to be King David at this point. So King David's kind of writing and saying, oh, the king needs blessing. And the focus is on God's help to David, God's help to the future real king, the Messiah, and then God's help to you and I, as we're followers of the king. So there's three audiences being dealt with in Psalm 20 and 21. And a big theme of joy is in both sections, 20 and 21. The joy that we know from the victories God gives, and then Chapter 21, Lord, the king rejoices in your strength, not in the king's strength, in God's strength, not in the horses and chariots, in God's strength, not in, you know, my wonderfully powerful Nissan Altima as I blow by traffic on the turnpike and so forth. Not, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice in God and his strength. So joy in God, and then verse 6, surely you have given him eternal blessings and make him glad with the joy of your presence. Okay, so when you and I recognize we're around God and God's everywhere, God gives us his joy. Okay, we focus on God, he brings the joy. And so joy as a gift from God is really the focus of many of the Psalms. Joy, gladness, rejoicing, all come from the same word. They're positive words. If joy is a gift from God, it's one of the more energetic gifts. Joy, you say that person has joy, certain spring in their step, certain gleam in their eye, okay, certain up in their countenance. You know, when you get older, your countenance tends to droop just a bit through gravity and so forth. You know, and my son said, you know, why is Dad so angry? I said, that's not anger. That's my normal face at this point in my life, you know. But joy, would joy affect your face eventually? But it's not the key, you know. Joy in the Bible is not just a joyful, what do they call those things, emoji? It's not just a joyful emoji that the writer is talking about here. It's something in the heart that God would give. One old-time preacher said this, God has given us everything he has. Now, who would give you everything they have? Hopefully your spouse, you know. But who would give you everything they have? Well, the Lord. He gives us his Son to die and rise from the dead for us. He gives us his Spirit to live with us, take us all the way to heaven. God gives us everything he has. A reason for joy. in the heart of as we learn to trust him. An old-timer who had a lot of joy was a guy named George Mueller. He did a lot of work establishing orphanages when children were not taken care of, established five big orphanages in the 1800s, and took care of 10,000 children. I don't know if you're a Sunday school teacher, maybe a teacher in a school somewhere, you know. You could say, well, over the years, I have dealt with 10,000 children. You would not be exhausted. You'd be like, whew, you know, life, action. That's where it's at. And so it's a plug for nursery volunteers, you know. George Mueller had been in the nursery. Say, yeah, we could do this together. And he lived till 92, taking care of 10,000 children. Whew. I'm hanging out over there for the longevity. Okay. But he said this, there's more of God yet to be enjoyed. And the Christian life is known as a gift of joy from Christ himself. To be Christ-like and is to know joy. And to find ourselves happy in God himself. That was Mueller's blessing. He said, I find myself happy in God. And after he died, his orphanages grew and actually took care of 100,000 more children. So you think all the influence that was in all those young ones. You know, pray for the younger generation there. But joy in Mueller's life came from God. And, you know, Jesus said this. He said, where your treasure is, there is your heart too. So think about where your heart gravitates. You know, that's your treasure. Kind of on your mind all the time. Something to get your adrenaline going, your excitement. What's a treasure in your life? Jesus offers himself as the treasure for us. And so as we delight in him, we find out, oh, He is our treasure. He's the one we delight in the most, even more than any part of creation. And it's hard to learn this. You know, the gifts we have. Remember the first big gift I had in my life was a fire engine red Camaro. Whew. I was ready to take on whoever, you know. And it was really like, it shouldn't have been driven by a pastor. It just wasn't that type of thing. But I was all excited about this fire engine red Camaro. It was a two-door car, and doors are really heavy. So as soon as I tried to shut the door, I ripped the handle right off the door. Not too excited anymore about the source of my joy was short-lived. And even, dear people in our lives, wonderful blessing for a season, and then on to enjoy them in heaven. But really, they're all from God. So we give them back to God. And they're safe there. Put them in our hands, we'll fumble it. You know, or we'll grasp them. Or we'll push them away. But if I say, oh, they're from people or from God, well, I'll treat them with respect and love. Right? Because he's the joy. He's the joy. So to know joy as a gift from God, not something we produce. To rejoice in the Lord always. That's a Bible invitation written by Paul in prison. Prison couldn't take his joy away because it didn't give it to him. So it can't take it away. And a good lesson for us. Two acrostics that I like having to do with joy. Acrostic is using the letters to stand for words. J-O-Y, Jesus. Others and yourself. If you have that mindset or that heart, you'll find yourself experiencing joy. Joy is something in your heart first. Jesus, others, yourself. Easy to get it mixed up. I go to church for me. I go to church for others, my friends I hang out with. I go to church for God last. How do you get in third place? I don't know. How do I get in first place? Going to church for me, that was the dumbest thing I've ever did. So, for God, for others, here to help to anybody. You know, even if it's praying for somebody across the pew, across the church, young somebody before or after church, the foyer crowd out there, and so forth. But joy, Jesus, others, yourself. You go to work, Jesus, others, yourself. You're in your house. Let's put the Lord first in the house. Hardest place to follow Jesus, in the house. Others, wife, children, yourself. Okay, once in a while somebody, and what would you like to do that? You know, oh, I'll take that third place, no problem. Jesus, others, yourself. And even better acrostic, Jesus over you and God reigning in your life. Oh, Lord, take charge of my heart, my soul, my words, my actions. You know, what fantastic blessings that the Lord gives us. Jesus over you, his sovereign care and rule over us. We want him under the Lord. We don't want to be in charge of our own life. It's bad. It never turns out well, and there's pain to be experienced. Heard a testimony of somebody who had a friend. They had family friends. The dear lady passed away at 67 from cancer. You know, she had a lot of life left in her. And he said, I trust God with this. I trust God with this. You know, he could have said, doctor's fault. Could have said, my fault. I should have saw this. Could have said, you see what the devil does, you know. When we don't understand pain, might as well blame the devil. Or we could say, you know what? I'll trust God. I'll trust God. It's interesting. Job, who suffered more than any of us, all his conversation was directed to about God. His friends tried to help. That was okay. But it was God, God, God. He didn't say, you guys, if you'd have been with me, all this bad stuff wouldn't have happened. You know, he didn't blame any forces anywhere. He just said, well, whatever's going on, I'm talking to God about this. God gave him peace, joy in the long haul. Okay, so Jesus over us, even in terms of our commitments, our loyalty, our love, our time, treasure, and talent. Jesus over us, because it all came from him. You know, it's a wonderful realization that God gives us. Even when our hearts are broken, would God give us a sense of his, he's with us, you know, Jesus over us. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask James, what did he mean when he said, count it all joy, brothers, when you experience various pain, when you experience various trials? Yeah, I'm going to ask him what he meant by that, because I don't know of too many people who could live that way. In fact, I don't know anybody who lives that way, who they are at their most joyful when they are, you know, in the dentist chair. Or they just had surgery where they took out half of their intestines because of cancer. And they said, I'm just totally joyful about this. Yeah, sign me up for this. Otherwise, our list of sick people in the bulletin would be, we'd just call them all our praise list, okay? These are all the praisers, right? No. There's something different going on with James is trying to tell us. So we're going to have to ask him about that in heaven. And we certainly trust God, don't we? But we don't expect joy out of ourselves when the whole world is crashing in our souls. Nor should we expect it out of anybody else. So the joy of God, stronger than the trial. Leave the trial to the Lord. And how wonderful. Couple things about joy that would help us, I think, in our growth with God. Put them on a screen here for us. Big words, but important walk. The level of our sanctification, that's how well we're walking with God. How much we're growing. The level of our sanctification does not add to or subtract from our justification, our being right with God. Okay, Jesus, he's still our Savior. Our trust is in him. Whether we grew a lot or whether we grew a little, whether we prayed a lot, read the Bible a lot, loved our neighbor the right way, we still belong to him through faith. Doesn't add to or subtract from this dear cross. His dear cross is sufficient for all our shortcomings. That's why we don't look at ourselves and say, well, I don't pray very much, so I guess I'm not a Christian. We don't say, oh, she doesn't pray very much, so I'm pretty sure she's not a Christian. Level of our growth does not affect the greatness of Christ in our life. You wouldn't do that on a human level to a person if they were growing in a manner that was a little bit slow, and they were 10 and they were, 3.5 feet as a 10-year-old, and they were having a rough time in their growth. You wouldn't say, I question whether you're even a human being, you know. Some people try to do that with people who have limitations. That's really bad. We don't want to do that in terms of our relationship with the Lord either. Okay, very important principle. Everybody grows. We all just grow at different rates. Help each other out with that, okay? Be merciful to yourself with that too. Otherwise, you'll be trying to climb your way to heaven. Won't work. The level of our joy, therefore, does not add to or subtract from our peace with God. Okay. Some days you're awful crabby. You wouldn't be known as a Christian anywhere. You still belong to Jesus. And some days you're really as happy as can be. You might not even be putting your trust in Christ at that point. So it's the Lord doing it for you is the key. Joy is a gift from God, not a path to God. Simple. And it goes for love and peace and patience and the other fruits also. It goes for all the spiritual gifts also. You don't want to ever make a spiritual gift a sign of being a genuine believer. That'd be a dumb thing. I bet you would pick the gift you had if you did that. No, there are people who do that. Contrast happiness and joy. Okay, happiness is more what's going on around us. Happiness is up and down. It's understandable. Tears, laughter, part of the human life, part of our choices sometimes. But joy is more constant, part of the choice of God to work in our souls. Happiness dependent on us. I'm going to be at my best and so on. But joy is dependent on God. Happiness, conditional. Joy, unconditional, given from who the Lord is. Wonderful verse. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So every Christian has the Holy Spirit. You can't say Jesus is my Lord without help from him. Same with joy. God has poured out his joy into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we trust on God for that Jesus over us, that Jesus others yourself mindset or trend. And here's some good parts of the Bible where people experience joy. Just to identify with them and say, Lord, help me walk in this way. This is for a Monday morning work crowd. Monday evening. This work has been done with the joy of our God. Okay. That's what you say to the boss when you're leaving. And he said, did you get it done? Yeah, I got it done with the joy of our God. He says, no raise for you. But this is Ezra when he was helping rebuild the temple. And he was getting like a lot of opposition. The Babylonians, they didn't want it to happen. They just let these folks go. The enemy, they didn't want it to happen. Some of the brothers and sisters, Jewish brothers and sisters, they didn't want it to happen. These guys said, we're going to honor God this way. Okay. Joy with the joy of God. Psalm 5:11, let them that love the Lord be joyful. We love because he first loved us. It's a very joyful experience when you're loved. So some poor girl the other day, she tried to handle it appropriately. She She was actually engaged to be married, and one of the guys at work was trying to, you know, spoon with her or whatever you call it. He wanted to take her out, but she was already engaged, and so she appropriately said, "No, thank you." You know, but you should saw how happy she was. Oh, I got interested. I got two guys are interested in me now. That was embarrassing. But anyway, that's not in the notes. That has something to do with joy coming from the Lord. Psalm 100, serve the Lord with gladness. It was nobody from this church, by the way, so calm down. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's a good way to serve God, good way to worship Him. As the old song said, I'm feeling glad all over. Can you name the group? I'm feeling glad all over. It has something to do with joy in the heart. Isaiah 61, my soul shall be joyful in my God. Again, that's our treasure. If we don't have anything to be joyful about, at least we still have the biggest one to be joyful about, and that's God Himself. And then, you fill me with joy in your presence. That's, again, a chance to know Jesus over you, Jesus others yourself, on a regular basis. Okay. Pray for that to be a gift that God grows. You know, it is the fruit of His Spirit. Here's some more. The wise men rejoiced with exceeding great joy when they worshiped even the baby Jesus. I mean, here's the baby Jesus. He's showing no attributes of, you know, omniscience, omnipresence. He's not, you know, changing water into wine or anything. They see just Him. It's just Him. That's all it is. And they're exceeding great joy. How wonderful that we can be joyful about God. Good news of great joy for all the people. Jesus for everybody. Joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Pretty important. That's not just the guy who says, I don't believe in God, but now I do, so I'm joyful. Heaven says we're joyful, more so. But it's for anybody. Any person sitting in the church service, you know, across America. One person who says, I'm away from God here. I'm following God here from now on, you know. Over one who repents, there's joy in heaven. No repenters at that service today. No joy in heaven. No joy in heaven. God does not throw a party when there's no repentance. Okay. When there's repentance, He says, this is why I came, you know, change lives, my son given for them. Joy in heaven. Enter the joy of your master. That's what happens to us when we go to heaven. Who Jesus is. He talks to us that our joy might be in Him and our joy full. We would have joy in God. And down to Philippians 4:1, Paul actually said other Christians were his joy and crown. In other words, he saw God in them so much he just said, boy, that's a plug for Sunday morning church, I think. When I'm around other Christians, I feel, you know, like they're my joy and my crown. We're brothers and sisters in a way that only God can pull off. Not because we all look alike or do alike. And then we have joy unspeakable, full of glory. Unspeakable, I think that means sometimes you're joyful and you're really, really quiet about it. I just can't express what God means to me. That's okay. You know, and God, again, a gift from God, not a path to God. You could say, well, I want God because He'll give me that gift. He'll bear that fruit. He'll grow that fruit. A Hindu asked a Christian guy in closing, just two examples. Hindu asked a Christian guy, what do you put on your face? You're looking like bright, you know. He said, I don't put nothing on my face. Oh, yes, you do. Every time I see you, you have something on your face. Plus, I see all these other Christians out here. They have something on their face. And they said, he said, I know what it is. It's who Jesus is. It really does impact us. you know, not just no tears or no frowns, but I could have the worst frown on my face and be crying and still know joy of God. That can happen to you. And then one old timer, Charles Spurgeon, said this. He was all thankful. He wanted everybody else to be thankful too. He said, "I desire that all who hear of my great deliverance from hell by my blessed God would laugh for joy with me." And when somebody knows, oh, yeah, the Christian, he's a Christian going to heaven. Sometimes we get a big kick out of meeting somebody somewhere and we say, "I think that person trusts Christ." Oh, yeah. I mean, you were delighted about that. And he said, "Because my mouth is filled with joyous laughter, I want others to rejoice with me." Rejoice with me. And so, boy, it's a good gift, provides energy. I confess in my life I've been weak on joy as a child. Most of the photos of me when I was from 2 to 10, I would be frowning or crying. Cried about everything. When it was rainy, I cried. If it was sunny, I would be sitting there in the sun crying. "It's too sunny. It hurts my eyes." I don't know what God's trying to get me away from that. But it's God is a joy. Joy from God. And might you take Him for your soul. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for each dear person here. Thank You that whether we're naturally joyful or not, it's not a absolute indicator of our relationship. Certainly doesn't indicate what You did for us. You gave Your life and rose, and we trust You. And You will build joy into our soul. And it'll be more than we thought it was there. And it'll be sufficient to help somebody else along life's painful way. So work in our hearts, dearest Jesus, as You're the most joyful one of all. In Your name we pray. Amen.